The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the days for Jesus' being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him, because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens, and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what is left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Living here in the greater metropolitan Indianapolis area, we can sometimes lose sight of how agricultural a region we live in. It doesn't take much of a car drive for any of us to be out on country roads amongst corn and soybean fields. I grew up in Alexandria, just north of here, and we were always referred to as a county school compared to the city schools in nearby Anderson. But even in small town Alexandria, I was always a city boy. But I did have good friends who, like Father Hahn, were farming families, working the land and raising livestock. But I did gain an understanding of what is meant by the phrase of the corn being knee-high by the 4th of July. It's also interesting to note that my nephew, barely a month into being Father Matthew Jakupko, spent one of his seminarian summers on a family farm in Tipton. That assignment gave to a Carmel boy a wider understanding and appreciation for the vast rural areas of our diocese and of the lifestyle of those who work the land and provide for us. As we read Scripture, we confront the predominantly agrarian culture that comes through the writings and stories. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who tends his flock, the sheep, planting the seed, sowing the fields, the Lamb of God. Those of us without that agricultural perspective might miss some of the nuances of these references. Our readings this weekend have just such an agricultural theme thread of plowing that ties them all together. But this common thread also raises a seeming contradiction between our first reading from 1 Kings and our gospel from Luke. Why did Mother Church put these readings together? In our first reading, the great prophet Elijah anoints Elisha as his successor, but allows Elisha to say goodbye to his parents. But in our gospel, Jesus asks his disciples to follow him, yet rebukes those who ask to go bury their dead or say farewell to their families. Sure seems pretty harsh in comparison. But I'd suggest that the difference lies in the intentions of Elisha compared to the followers in our gospel. Elisha did more than say goodbye to his parents. He took the wooden yokes and plowing equipment and burned them up as fuel for cooking the slaughtered oxen with which he was plowing his field. He destroyed the tools and animals of his very livelihood. Elisha was all in, looking forward with no path back to his prior life. Then moving to our gospel, it helps to also put that timeline in perspective. We are approaching the end of Jesus' 3-year public ministry, where he has resolved to make his final trip to Jerusalem. Jesus himself identifies Jerusalem as the city that kills and stones the prophets sent there. This was the beginning to the end. And Jesus' followers likely felt that dread. We know that this ending didn't correlate with the widely held expectation and desire for a conquering king that would restore an earthly kingdom in David's line. So, after 3 years of following Jesus, seeing his works, seeing his miracles, we now have some that are just asking to go back and attend to the business of their lives. They continue to be focused on the past. Jesus even uses this image of plowing a field and looking back. Now, I have never been on a tractor plowing a field, but I'd imagine if I were trying to plow a field, I'd be continually craning my neck all the time to make sure that I was lined up properly and that my lines were straight. I really need to ask Father Hahn if that's accurate. We also have Paul in our reading to the Galatians using this same image of a yoke. A yoke connects two oxen together to pull that plow. They are no longer free of themselves, but tethered together to the movements of each other. Paul uses the yoke to liken the way we allow ourselves to be yoked to sin. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross set us free from our connection to original sin, but we often fail. When we fall to sin, we get tethered to regret, guilt. We dwell on our mistakes. It's easy to view our habitual addictions as yokes that restrain us, tie us, keep us down, whether those be alcohol, drugs, sex, pornography, gambling, or even other self-destructive or even self-absorbed behaviors. This is not what Jesus wants for our lives. Elsewhere in the gospel, Jesus invites us to take his yoke and learn from him that his yoke is easy and his burden light. A starting point for us in shedding these yokes is the sacrament of reconciliation, along with regular continued exercise of the confessional, as well as reception of the Holy Eucharist. With Jesus' yoke, he is helping to guide and carry our burdens. We now, in this celebration, prepare to share Jesus' body and blood at the Eucharistic table through the species of bread, fruit of the earth, and wine, fruit of the vine. Both of these are the work of human hands, beginning with the hands of our farmers. May we approach the sacrifice offered on this altar and receive the Eucharist, not looking back to our former lives or bound to our sinful inclinations, but always looking forward, always guided by Christ, seeking the gentle yoke of Christ's love and support for our lives.
The following is a statement provided on behalf of our pastor, Father Hahn, regarding the recent decision from the Supreme Court. We at St. Louis de Montfort acknowledge and express gratitude for the Supreme Court's recent Dobbs decision, which determined there is no constitutional foundation establishing the right to end the life of the unborn through abortion. Without a doubt, this is the culmination of years and years of an unrelenting prayer and fasting and public witness on the part of so many. As Bishop Doherty wrote in his statement on Friday, the Catholic Church has been steadfast in her support for protections of human life from conception until natural death. We can be proud of our consistent teaching, but our local actions speak louder than words. Our task as the Universal Catholic Church and as St. Louis de Montfort Parish is in establishing a culture of life, which includes advocating for legal protections, and it also means promoting and defending the sanctity and respect of all stages of life, from conception to natural death, with humility and compassion. Making our parish a place of welcome for women facing unexpected and challenging pregnancies, so that any mother needing assistance will receive life-affirming support, be that spiritual, financial, and/or emotional support. To become what Pope Francis has called islands of mercy in a sea of indifference. And finally, accompanying mothers who seek healing after an abortion and sharing the sorrow of their loss with the charity and compassion of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Supreme Court ruling is a significant glimmer of hope, but it also beckons us to persevere in our prayer for the conversion of hearts, to continue our fasting and recommit to our witness to love, to the sacredness of all human life.